This is KGMI Connects with Joe Tien, a live local show about our community and you on KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham and KGMI.com.
What is with me, but it's also with you. It's what it's all about. Your thoughts, your opinions, your ideas, 360-676-5464. What is on your mind today? That's what our show is all about. KGMI Connects, 360-676-5464. And it seems like spring has arrived here for sure. Pretty nice weekend weather-wise and lovely day on Easter Sunday to get out and enjoy the sunshine. Hope you had a chance to do that. And great to have you with us here on this Monday. Once again, we want to hear from you, whatever is on your mind. And I saw where, the Florida Supreme Court has said, yeah, this state constitutional amendment could be on the ballot. But Florida's Attorney General said, no, we shouldn't put that on the ballot. We shouldn't let people vote on that. But, I mean, isn't the same argument that folks were making about former President Trump being kept off the ballot in some states? You know, let the people decide. Wouldn't they be able to decide on an issue like, reproductive rights, family planning, that sort of thing? But just some thoughts as we get rolling today. They're mine, but the show is about yours. And, Jim in Seattle is usually an early caller, and let's go right to Jim, not make him wait today. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Joe. How are you today?
Very good, very good. What's on your mind?
Well, let's see how we go. I don't think TV is very good for people of my persuasion, although it's good to keep track of what other people are saying. But I do think you know much about, you're aware of, definitely, of RFK Jr., Robert Francis Kennedy, whatever his middle name is.
Uh-huh.
He's running for president. So I wrote some things down probably about, I saw him on TV, I think maybe even C-SPAN. I think that's where I saw him a week ago or so. But it was sort of, I saw a rebuttal to what his speech was. And it was pretty clear that he was taking money and getting support from pretty far right sources that I wish I could remember it off the top of my head. But I saw today on MSNBC, Rory Kennedy is a relative of his, and she came out against him. And also she was saying that he would be siphoning votes from Biden. So that's another problem we have. I tend to believe I'll vote for Biden, but I think I'll keep it open just like uncommitted are. But I think it would be pretty bad if Trump got in. How bad, we don't know. But I'd like to just, this is Gore Vidal. He wrote an essay in this book, The Holy Family. And you can probably guess he talks about the Kennedys, but this one is really good. He says, one of the most fascinating aspects of politician watching is trying to determine to what extent any politician believes what he says. Most, of course, never do, regarding public statements as necessary noises to soothe the electorate or deflect the wrath of the passionate, who are forever mucking things up for the man who wants decently and normally to rise. Yet there are cases of politicians who have swayed themselves by their own speeches. Take a man of conservative disposition and force him to give a liberal speeches for a few years in order to be elected, and he will, often as not, come to believe himself. There's evidence that JFK often spellbound himself. Bobby is something else again. So,
okay. Okay.
And I'll add from memory, that Gore Vidal ran for House of Representatives in 1960, the same year that JFK got elected. This is mildly amusing. He was in a sort of conservative district because he lived up there in upstate New York. And so Robert Kennedy, the attorney general, who became the attorney general under JFK, and he was chiding Gore Vidal. He said, why don't you mention the ticket? You know, meaning JFK, and Gore Vidal's response was, because I want to win. And he did, in fact, outpoll JFK in the election. He nearly won, and he got more votes than JFK in his district. So,
you mean RFK? Or
RFK. Well, no, I mean, JFK got elected, of course, but RFK
right.
wanted to know why Gore never mentioned the ticket. You know?
Oh, okay.
Let's be unified. And Gore Vidal just said, because I want to win. You know, I'm a better off on my own because the JFK was less popular in his district than Gore Vidal because he got more votes. He outpolled JFK.
Okay.
And so that's kind of amusing. Anyway, I'll just stop after this. There's a guy named Vijay Prashad. He's an Indian. He's pretty kind of on the left. He just reminds us as we're going through this tumultuous, potentially time, that progress is always difficult to sustain. And then there's a Brian Becker who runs a thing called the Socialist Program. It's on the internet, all this stuff.
Right, right.
He says that movements lose momentum, but the ones relating to the pro-Palestinian cause, you know, that they're getting genocide committed against them, are still maintaining intensity. It's just that you don't see it that as much. I don't think they don't cover it as much on the mainstream. So, you know, I say we'll try not to get discouraged. Trump may win, but we'll have to carry on anyway.
Okay, Jim.
And so thanks for letting me have the time, and have a good day.
All right, you too. All right. Well, and, you know, as far as what's happening in Gaza, I mean, it's there's been, you know, we've heard very little about what's actually happening there. I mean, we haven't heard any, you know, we hear the rough casualty figures among civilians, Palestinians. I mean, have we seen any reports of Israeli? I mean, I remember one report of a number of Israeli troops, but just like a handful of them or a couple, who were killed early in the campaign. But we really haven't heard about who's doing the fighting. And I mean, as far as Hamas, are they fighting back? Is this just Israel bombing? I mean, Israel is basically, shut out the lights as far as what's happening there. So we really don't know other than what is reported. And I think most of the numbers coming out about the toll on the civilian population is coming from Hamas. Not that it's not accurate. Who knows? But I suspect it's hard to believe that people aren't suffering terribly in Gaza, for sure. But and now we're hearing Israel seems to be accelerating things. They bombed the Iranian consulate in Syria. Or an Israeli consulate or an Iranian consulate. That's like getting messy. Let's go to Tim in Everson. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Joe. Hey, I wanted to talk about people having patience.
Okay.
And mine kind of got stretched today, but I did it, Joe.
All right. What happened?
Well, I'm not a runabout or anything like that, so when I have to do errands, I try to do them all in one day.
Uh-huh.
Go to A, B, C, D, whatever. And I noticed, and I don't know if anybody else has noticed, but there's a lot of really young people and a really lot of old people.
Okay.
Working these retail jobs. I mean.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
It was just my observation. And I had a hard time a couple of times today, and it was just like, no, 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 here's the ad, here's the price, what do I have to do? And they were very nice people. There were some that were definitely not trained for their jobs.
Hmm, okay. And this was in retail establishments, huh? Retail stores?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. And there were a couple times I could have lost my patience, but I was just like, come on, they're trying to do their job, you know. But it was, I think some of the retailers could do a better job of, here's where the flyer is.
So they were, what were they mixing up, or what were they not doing right?
Well, I'll give you one example.
Okay.
I went and I bought a number of items that said limit 10, mail-in rebate, and the person couldn't find where the sale was, and then he found a flyer, and then he says, okay, and I said, well, can I get the rebate form? And he searched for more than 5 minutes for the rebate form. Then he gave it to me, okay, here you go, and before I got out to the truck, and loaded it up, I'm like, this product isn't even on the rebate form.
Okay.
So I went back in, and then the store manager came out, and she said, well, let me look. And she gave me the same exact rebate form. And I said, well, can you show me where it's $6 off a bag for that or the product? And that's when I got a little bit testy. She goes, okay, hold on.
Well, now, you were wanting to pay more, the $6? You weren't wanting the rebate?
No, I wanted the proper rebate form.
Okay. What? But why?
Because it was a mail-in rebate.
I see. Okay. So it wasn't one the store would give. Okay. All right.
Right. So then she dug around some more, and she goes, oh, here it is. It's April now. And I said, yeah. She said, I'm so sorry. And I said, no, you don't have anything to be sorry about.
Well,
and when I got out to the parking lot, I helped her load. They had this old lady out there loading, I don't know, 40-pound bags in the back of a car. So I said, no. Here, let me get that for you.
All right.
So just have patience with people.
Well, and I think that's a good message.
There were four incidents today where I could have just pulled a full, I don't know, John from Ferndale deal and melted down. And I was like, no, okay.
I don't know if that's fair to say John would act that way in a store, but I think we have to cut him some slack. I went not long ago, I needed a new garbage disposal. I went to a store, local store, I won't say which one, and they had the displays, and they had the same garbage disposal, the one that I decided I wanted to buy. They had it on two separate racks, and on one rack, it was one price. On the lower rack, it was $10 less, and I was like, this is weird. And I looked it was the same product number, the same stock number and everything, and same description. So I took a picture of the two price tags and I took it up and I said, hey, this is on. So they ended up giving it to me for the $10 less. But yeah, I guess, there's so much stuff in these stores. I guess got to cut them some slack.
I just think there's a new workforce out there and we need to be patient.
All right.
And don't be grumpy and jump on them.
Because that won't do you any good anyway. They're not going to give you better service. That's for sure.
Okay.
All right, Tim. Thanks.
Bye.
All right, quick break. Back with more. We got Rich, we got Robert, and hopefully we'll hear from you here on KGMI Connects. Whatever's on your mind, 360-676-5464.
Join the 2024 Whatcom County Home and Lifestyle Show April 12th through 14th. Enjoy a jam-packed weekend full of fun events and inspiration for the whole family. Over 200 booths will showcase all that Whatcom County has to offer in home and lifestyle. And new this year is free admission. Plus, don't miss Whatcom County's first ever professionally sanctioned barbecue competition, Saturday and Sunday. Competitors from all over the Northwest will compete for the title of Grand Champion and a $6,000 prize purse. And you get to taste your way through the event. Bring the family out to Fairhaven Floors Family Day from 11 to 4 with face painting, balloon animals, and meet Cinderella and Spider-Man. Plus, see the Reptile Man, a Lego building session with Lego Masters contestant Brad Bergman, and the Young Entrepreneurs Market. The Whatcom County Home and Lifestyle Show, presented by the BIAWC and sponsored by Judd and Black, April 12th through 14th at the Northwest Washington Fairgrounds. More info at BIAWC.com.
The average family throws out $1,500 of food every year. That's a lot. Imagine what you could do with extra cash. There are simple ways to reduce your food waste and increase your savings. It starts with a meal plan, a menu, a shopping list, and ends with a little creativity, fresh recipes, ingredient swaps, and new kitchen skills. Get tips to reduce food waste and make your dollar go further. Know the cost. Go to usefoodwell.org to learn more.
KGMI wants to put a grand in your hand. You could be one word away from a chance to win $1,000.
That's right. Just listen each weekday to KGMI for the keyword during the 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 5 p.m. hours.
Then go to the Grand in Your Hand contest page at mybellinghamnow.com before midnight and enter each keyword for your chance to win $1,000.
We'll have four keywords each weekday so you can increase your chances of winning by entering all four. Every day we play the contest.
You already listen to KGMI for the latest local news and discussion of the latest issues. Now you could win $1,000 while you do it.
A Grand in Your Hand is brought to you on KGMI by Niederhaus of Luxury, Whatcom County's newest fine jewelry store, next to Lombardi's on Bellwether Way.
A Grand in Your Hand is back on KGMI.
Get details at mybellinghamnow.com.
We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects, 360-676-5464.
Yeah, that's right. And listen, those hours, 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., 5 p.m. for keyword. Four different keywords each day, so you can enter four times at mybellinghamnow.com. Look for the Grand in Your Hand link there on the homepage, and you're good to go. And let's go right back to the phones. Rich in Ferndale's on the line. Hi, Rich.
How's it going today, Joe?
Pretty good for a Monday.
Nice day.
It's beautiful, yeah.
So one of the things that bothers me quite a bit when we hear abortion in the news is it's branded as women's health care and, reproductive rights. Well, it's the opposite of reproducing. You're actually stopping the reproduction when you abort. And a woman's right, of course, we don't talk about the father's right or the fetus's right. They have no rights. So it's like a lot of things these days, redefined. And who isn't for women's rights? I am. Okay. Who isn't for reproductive rights? You shouldn't have kids if you don't want to. But that doesn't mean you kill it after you've made it. Oh, this is inconvenient. My family won't like it, or I don't have the money, so I got to kill it. This has to be done. Has to be killed. So. Well, it's inaccurate.
It's just the idea, I guess, you know, because, you know, reproductive rights could be, say, give the woman a right to decide whether, well, am I going to reproduce right now or am I not going to reproduce right now?
And that has to do with the time of the month, contraception, and when you have sex, not killing it.
Okay.
But we're not willing to go there because we're not about responsibility in America. We are about entitlement.
About that. I think.
Oh, no.
But I think, you know, it was an established right, a constitutional right that was taken away by the Supreme Court.
Show me in the Constitution. Show me in the Constitution where it talks about abortion anywhere, Joe.
It was a right. It was a right for 50 years.
No.
It was.
Interpretation, Joe. Mm-hmm. It's an interpretation.
Right.
Of
and these justices have made a different interpretation. One that's quite radically different than had been made over the last 50 years, because it wasn't just that one court back in 1973 that made that decision. It was upheld after court. And so it was this specific court that has made this determination. And
that's okay. They can do that. Courts do that. They make law all the time. They legislate from the bench all the time. They interpret words with different meanings. I mean, look at our state. Capital gains is considered a type of income to the IRS, but not to our state. So we just have a society that doesn't stick to standard definitions of anything. We just willy-nilly change words to fit our narrative of the moment, and it's just, which I think is a lie. When you start changing the meanings of long-established words, it's a lie. You can't just change meanings of things to suit your whim. Like abortion is just not about reproducing. It's the 100% opposite of reproducing. 100%.
We're talking about like reproductive rights. So it's talking about a woman's right to control her reproductive process.
She has control, biological system.
Well,
that doesn't equal killing it.
Okay. All right, Rich.
That's all right.
Okay. Got it. We'll go on for Robert in Bellingham. Hi, Robert.
Hello. I talked about the freeway, that we won't be able to expand it.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, and Rich brought something up. He said, well, with that logic, if we went to one lane, we'd have less traffic. But I got to thinking the reality is when they do add lanes, it helps alleviate the traffic some. You know, you have more traffic than the lanes can handle. If you add a lane, it'll help for a while. But the problem is we can't keep up with the growth by adding. When you add a lane, for every step forward you take, adding a lane, you slide back two steps because there's more population growth and more cars in the area. And part of the problem is that the situation has changed since in the 1950s. In the 1950s, you could maybe buy a house in Seattle for $10,000, and they didn't care so much about bulldozing down neighborhoods, and they put more and more lanes in. But if we were to do that today, one of the big changes is the property values are so high compared to other things in the economy that there isn't enough taxes collected. The gas tax and so forth would have to be really high in order to buy out all the homeowners and bulldoze through all, more lanes like mm-hmm. that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and, you know, I lived in Denver back, well, this was before we moved up here years ago. And they were working on a major, it was a huge expansion of the freeway system, that I-25, it goes right through the city. And I remember studies that found that while that was going on, because there was a big, you know, bond issue, there was a big vote on it as whether people would you know, allow it. And it went through, and because people were sick of sitting in traffic. Well, then the studies came out that even with the added lanes, the expanded freeway, that it would reduce the trip time from, say, downtown, the city's downtown, to the tech center down on the south end. It would reduce that drive by just a few minutes, not, you know, nothing substantial. But the idea of more lanes sounds good. I mean, Rich's argument carries some weight that, you know, then it would cut back to one lane in each direction. Well, then, of course, but we're talking about really heavily congested areas and lots of traffic, lots of vehicles, and you add more lanes, people think, oh, it's going to be faster, and they, you know, it attracts more traffic. And
yeah, and the problem is it's just harder to build the lanes now because there's more population and the land values are so high and construction costs up and so forth. So it's better to try, and it's more efficient to get more people using public transit probably. I heard that Seattle, when they put the freeway through the city, actually lost population because then they were a lot more draconian and they just bulldozed down the houses, and a lot of people were living in those houses and they paid them, but, you know, they were like $5,000 a lot or something.
Yeah.
But they, you know, then people moved out to the suburbs more, and so the freeway actually meant less population within the city limits of Seattle. But now it's densifying again and more population coming in, and there really isn't another way except maybe the self-driving car or more transit like mass, you know, buses,
yeah,
and mass
transit, you know, and they're putting the light rail system, expanding the light rail system in Seattle, and that's one way to do it. I was recently in, my brother lives in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis, he's in St. Paul, and they're really expanding their express bus lanes that just have lanes just that are separate from the freeway. They run right along the freeway, but they're dedicated to these express bus routes, you know, and so maybe that's the way, a better way to go, because eventually they could electrify the buses and not have them be polluting and that sort of thing. But all right.
Yeah, I think the buses are great. Like, it's just $1 for senior citizens to get from here to Mount Vernon, $2 general, and then another $1 to Everett, and then maybe it's $2 or $3 on into Seattle from there on a double-decker bus. And I just think that's a great way to go myself.
You have to have the ability to travel. That once you get off the bus, you have to be able to get to where you're going
in
those cities.
I bring my bike on the bicycle rack.
Okay.
The bike rack is never full, and I bring my bike down there, and it's a great way, and then I have my bike with me.
All right. Thanks, Robert. Appreciate your call, and we'll take a quick break. We got Forrest on the line. We'll hear from Don, I'm sorry. And we'll be back in just a moment here on KGMI Connects. Hopefully hear from you too.
Hello, folks. This is Phil George. I'm an elder law and estate planning attorney here in Bellingham, and I would like to invite you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1 p.m. right here on KGMI for the Aging Hour. If you have questions about Medicare, Medicaid, long-term care costs, probates, wills, trusts, or anything else that has to do with aging, this is the radio show for you. Studies show that more than 70% of estate plans fail when families need them the most. Join us every Saturday and Sunday at 1 p.m. and we can show you how to set your family up for success.
Whatcom Intergenerational High School is the only tuition-free public charter high school in Whatcom County available to Washington State residents.
They provide a unique learning experience where students co-create their classroom experience, enabling them to pursue their passions, think critically, and learn to solve real-world problems. Students participate in phenomenon-based learning with hands-on experiences like serving meals to the unhoused, raising salmon from eggs and releasing them, invasive plant removal and support for the Whatcom Humane Society.
They also include community elders, providing education, support, and a connection for students. Together, students and their elder allies are connecting and changing the world for the better.
Looking for an educational connection where students co-create their classroom experience with meaningful relationships and a sense of belonging? Find out what makes Whatcom Intergenerational High School uniquely different online at WIHS.school. Book your tour today. Space is limited. Enroll your student now.
With more ways than ever to connect to news and entertainment, 90% of new car buyers want the tried-and-true AM-FM radio option.
Gadgets are great, but when you're behind the wheel, you just want that local connection that you can't get from online apps.
Local radio is dependable and free, with no subscription or cellular data required, and no fumbling with a separate device.
Visit WeAreBroadcasters.com and tell us how you depend on AM radio stations like KGMI, and how you want AM included in your next new car.
The latest local news and important topics of the day from the West Mechanical Studio.
Rest easy in a cool home this summer. Contact West Mechanical Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical to add AC to your existing system for as little as $140 a month. Find them at westmechanical.net.
Get the latest news and information 24/7 with KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham. Streaming live at mybellinghamnow.com. We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects. 360-676-5464.
Great to have you with us here on this Monday, and let's go to Forrest in Sudden Valley. Hi, Forrest.
Hey, Joe.
Good to hear from you.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah. I really appreciate your show. It's really unique. I like the way that you just take all these calls on different subjects and your commentary. I appreciate that.
Well, thanks.
So anyway, one of your callers earlier in the show mentioned something about a lack of attention span.
Uh-huh.
And that kind of brought to mind some things that I thought about, I think one of the reasons our politics is so screwed up nowadays in this country is because culturally we have been trained to have a lack of patience and any attention span. And I think a lot of that is related to our constant exposure to electronic media, particularly TV and now movies as well. And I think there's a strong relationship between the amount of time that people spend watching television and movies and their lack of patience and any attention span. And I would like to point as an example, if you think back, Joe, to when we were young and we watched television in the 60s and 70s and even the early 80s.
Uh-huh.
Let's just take, for example, some popular show like, say, Leave It to Beaver or Andy Griffith's show or something like that that a lot of people saw. You would see a scene, perhaps that would be set in a room with some people standing around and they would be talking.
Uh-huh.
And the scene would be pretty much constant image for, 30 seconds, a minute, two, maybe even several minutes, and people would be having a dialogue. But the scene itself didn't really change very much. And then it would switch to another setting and something else would happen. But nowadays, if you watch television, and it's in the movies now too, really watch television, and I'm like clicking my fingers here, you watch the scene and it's like click, 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 click. The scene literally changes every couple of seconds, and this is constant throughout the visual media now. And I think what that has really done is it has trained people to be impatient and have any lack of attention span. It really frustrates me, and one of the reasons I don't go to the movies anymore is because the scene changes so quickly that you can't really see what's happening in the background. You can't really take in the whole scene. You're kind of forced to focus on just what is the most intense and most exciting thing that's happening right now, and then it changes in a couple of seconds.
Yeah.
And so I think that this constant changing of things, and it doesn't allow people to focus on anything for very long. It doesn't really allow you to stop and think about anything. you're just expecting the next exciting thing to happen. And I even see it in driving nowadays. People are extremely impatient. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like, you know, I know some of that people driving faster is because cars are so high performance now and all that. But it's almost like if you just go 25 miles an hour speed limit or 35 miles an hour speed limit, people become very upset and frustrated. And I think a lot of that is because of lack of patience and attention span. They expect the scenery that they're driving through to be changing very quickly. And if it doesn't, they get upset and they get frustrated.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to say that I think that television and movies and visual media have trained people culturally to have no attention span, and that it would be really great if people may I get back to doing things like reading a book, which requires you to concentrate on something, and retrain folks to have a little bit of attention and actually think about things and not just be led into the whole culture of impatience and no attention span.
Yeah, just try it, I guess. And social media has played a huge role in that, too, I think. And now, I don't know if you are on social media at all, but they have these reels, like on Facebook and Instagram, and it's an answer to TikTok, you know, these short videos and they take snippets of, you know, 30 seconds or a minute or something from this sitcom. Maybe it's Friends or Seinfeld or others that you've shown that you like, or are comedians, or car crashes, or you know, all these different things. And it says they're just one right after another after another after another, and it just but they are, they're very short and quick, and it's this mindset where now people, if they see a long post that somebody's written, they'll skip right out. You know, they won't even start to read it because I don't want to get into all that. I don't want to take the time to read that. And it's probably something that's really, you know, like it really hurt newspapers and any kind of a longer form, like you say, books for sure. Yeah,
right.
That's unfortunate.
Yes, but Joe, in our instant electronic age that we live in now, everyone expects everything to happen instantly or even yesterday, and that's not good for us. We need to be stop and think about things and not expect them. That's not reality. We need to realize that things take time, and we need to stop and think about it and be patient once in a while.
Thanks for your thoughts, Forrest. Great to talk with you.
Hey, thank you so much, Joe. Bye now.
Have a good one. Let's go to, is it Don in Port Angeles?
It is, Joe.
Hey, Don.
Hi. This is not a prank call, although it's April 1st.
Okay.
And this kind of ties in with the last caller, that take time to slow down and think.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'll go take you back about 70 years ago when we had Sunday closing laws. And my topic, I had told the screener, was traffic.
Uh-huh.
Sunday, everything closed down, and you couldn't go to the stores or the bar. And if Sunday is like every other day, that's 14% of the traffic, but Sundays being the weekend is not that much. But would it be 7% of the traffic or 5%? So, you know, on Sunday, you had time to think about God and family, and, you know, you had to think ahead because you couldn't just be hand-to-mouth and rush off to the store if you needed something. And then I'll take you back 60 years. We conned or bullied or shamed the young women into the workplace. And how much did that add to the traffic? Okay.
Yeah, okay.
And that was before we heard of climate change and before we had to change our cars to tailpipes and smokestacks to more carbon dioxide out of them. So if you double the amount of traffic before we changed emissions and then changed emissions to double the amount of carbon dioxide you produce, that's a fourfold increase in the amount of carbon dioxide that you produce. And then they did something because we were supposed to save the planet by conserving energy in our homes and fuel. So we had to make our homes more airtight, which I won't go into it now, but that causes us to actually use more energy. It's not, it's a false savings.
How does that?
That's all I want.
Okay. And we've talked about that and your thoughts on that, more efficient homes and buildings. But how would that make a building use more energy than less if it's closed up tighter?
The building saves, but you end up driving more. Cabin fever. You can't stand to be in your own home.
Okay.
And, and then there's all the medical and mental problems that arise. So you're going to the doctor and to the shrink. You know, what is this mental problem that's just permeating everything? And people can't stand in, they'd rather live on the street than in a house. Why is that?
Well, I don't have an answer to that specifically, but the idea that women were shamed or conned into joining the workforce, I don't know that I could agree with that. I think
we needed more Social Security contributions, more taxes, and the corporations wanted cheaper labor. So they end up competing with their own husband or with the woman that really needs a job, okay?
Yeah, but I didn't really put men out of work, and there are a lot of women that that enjoy working and want to have a career and have been very successful, just as successful and important to the workforce and to progress as men. I think it's good that they have the opportunity. I mean, if a guy wants to stay home and then the woman work, that's fine with me, and vice versa. But if both. And in a way, I guess it's gotten to be more expensive. I know that my wife always worked, and that was what enabled us to buy our first home and things like that and make some of those some of those advances. But she always wanted to work. And so,
okay. One more thought, Joe.
Yeah.
In order to provide jobs for all these women that entered the workforce, we had to find a way to make people sick, dumb, fat, crazy, violent, and criminal, so there were more jobs. We got all these people in the behavioral health and all the people, taking care of sick people. It just escalated and skyrocketed, the okay. hospitals and all of this mental stuff. And look at the jobs. Where are the jobs out here? The hospital is a huge behemoth. Criminal justice and law enforcement is a big boondoggle. And we got this behavioral health thing. It's just job after job after job. And they're going into the schools telling these kids that you probably have a mental health problem and you better see the doctor or their,
okay.
whatever.
All right. Okay, kind of a grim picture, but all right, Don. Appreciate your thoughts on all that. I guess that one thing does lead to another. What comes first? What came first, the chicken or the egg? Or, women in the workplace or sick people? There are a lot of factors, I think, that play into all that. But I appreciate your thoughts, Don. Let's go to Marty in Linden. Hi, Marty.
Great topics today. Yeah,
we're hitting a lot of them.
What came before the chicken or the egg? Hey, definitely the chicken. You can't form an egg without a chicken.
I think you're right.
All the animals and to be the kind of creatures that they are.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so we figured that one out. As far as abortion, back in 73 when the Supreme Court, they made their decision on one case, Norma McCorvey, and it was called Roe v. Wade, is what it was called. Mm-hmm. But she never did get an abortion. She later on said she never was raped, and she recanted. She believed that abortion is a murderous a killing of the unborn human being. And so it's great stuff that, we talk like it's a constitutional right. Never was a constitutional right. But it was a precedence that was set, and the legislative branch of government never did take it up like they should have, and to either make it a constitutional right or not. Only Congress can do that, you know, of course, with the president's signature with a two-thirds majority vote. So it's the kind of thing that it's like Rich in Ferndale said, it's the kind of thing that they use these talking points to make it look like something that's not. You know, and the reproduction, reproductive health and all that kind of, it's just talking points that are misconstrued of what it really, really is.
And
one more thing?
Sure.
You know, Robert talking always about, you know, like he's on a bicycle a lot, and that's great. But, you know, you can't haul a whole lot of groceries home on a bicycle. You can't, you know, use a service truck and stuff like that, too. So, anyway.
Yeah, it's true. When I was in college, my roommate had a car, and I didn't have a car. There were three of us, and only one of us had a car. And then he traded it with one of our professors for this little Honda 360 motorcycle. And then we go to the grocery store, and we'd end up with like a dozen grocery bags. And how do we get these back? And we'd be holding them. We'd have them hung on the handlebars, and it was pretty ridiculous. But we made it happen. But you're right; it's not practical for everyone, and to ride to Seattle, ride the bus to Seattle, and then ride your bicycle wherever you're going to go in Seattle. Yeah. But.
And add to that, as far as the traffic, we have way more traffic than we used to have. Like on the freeways and stuff, I used to drive truck and stuff too. And you keep your distance with the car ahead of you, but all of a sudden this whole wave of cars were coming on, and they get right in front of you. You know, it scares you. There's just too many cars for the roads that we have. You know, so I just want to bring those points up.
Yeah. All right. Okay, Marty. Thanks for your call.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. And we'll take a quick break. We'll have time for your call here on KGMI Connects 360-676-5464. As Marty said, we've been hitting a lot of topics today and interesting ones, too.
You love what you find at Wilson's.
A sure sign of spring is the arrival of Wilson's Furniture yearly patio furniture shipments, along with the problem of where they're going to put everything. And that means big savings of up to 50% are starting to sprout at Wilson's Furniture. You'll find living room, dining, bedroom furniture all marked down and ready for delivery. Are you ready for the annual college basketball tournament craziness? Catch all the action in a comfy Lane recliner, the best seat in the house, starting at $599. Looking for a better night's sleep? Find it at Wilson's with a top quality queen size mattress for only $699. If your patio furniture was blown into your neighbor's yard during that last windstorm, just leave it there and come check out the huge selection that you'll find only at Wilson's. And come enjoy some crazy early bird pricing. You'll love what you find at Wilson's during their early spring fever sale event going on now. Wilson's Furniture opens 7 days a week on Pacific Highway between Bellingham and Ferndale. Matthew Steakhouse is coming to PNW Perks this Thursday.
Get ready to set your taste buds to island time. If you like amazing barbecue and are looking for something a little out of the ordinary, you're going to love this week's PNW Perk.
Welcome to the absolute best barbecue experience, just a boat ride away. It's Matthew's Smokehouse in East Sound, a barbecue oasis offering exhilarating flavors.
You're going to want to try the 16-hour smoked brisket and fall off the bone ribs. Share some loaded fries or dive into fresh Pacific cod tacos. Pack up the family and bring your friends. The spacious indoor-outdoor dining area extends into the open lawn filled with laughter and yard games.
Matthew's Steakhouse isn't just a dining place, it's an experience. Enjoy live music and trivia nights while cheering for your favorite team on multiple TVs. Leap into a barrage of flavors right across the water at Matthew's Smokehouse.
This Thursday, $25 gets you $50 to spend at Matthew's Smokehouse in Deer Harbor on Orcas Island.
Only at pnwperks.com.
Join Windermere real estate experts Rick Todd, Julie Brown, and Lyle Sorensen every Saturday at 10 a.m.
You have to treat it more like a balanced market than when we had crazy low interest rates.
Right.
Radio real estate.
Buyers are going to get a great value.
What we like to call real real estate.
Where
the buyer actually gets to be represented properly.
Brought to you by Windermere Real Estate on KGMI, AM 790 and 96.5 FM. Streaming live at mybellinghamnow.com.
It's a mystery where Old Spice finds its amazing scents like Himalayan sea salt, but I'm thrilled they have because no other body wash exfoliates and moisturizes 24/7 like Old Spice Gentleman's Himalayan Sea Salt Body Wash. Now, if only there was a mountain range separating the Indian subcontinent from the Tibetan plateau where I could hide my old spice and keep my family from stealing it, my impossibly smooth skin will finally be safe.
We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects, 360-676-5464.
Get time to take your call, 360-676-5464, or you can text that number. I'll bring up my texting dashboard here if anyone's checked in. And once again, Grand in Your Hand is back. As of today, listen four times each weekday for a keyword, different keyword, four times a day. So you can enter four times at mybellinghamnow.com. And hope you'll check mybellinghamnow.com. It's our new local news website. Let's see. Rich says, our culture has told women they must be a career person like a man, and it's not okay to be content with a mother and homemaker. It's beneath them, and now it's financially impossible for most women to stay home to be a mom and homemaker. Well, I don't know if it's the message to women is that it's... beneath them to be a mother and homemaker. Maybe some may make that judgment, but I don't think society is telling women or girls that they have to stay home. It is telling them that they can do whatever they want to be and be whatever they want to be. And that's interesting too. Like I've heard the point made that when children are asked, "What do you want to be?" the implication is, what do you want to do when you grow up? What work do you want to do when you grow up? that aside, I think Rich's point that it's financially impossible for most or many women anyway to stay home to be a mom and homemaker. That it is a challenge, I think. The price of housing is sky high here and most parts of the country, and everything costs more, obviously. Wages haven't followed the increase in costs of living. And so I think there's some legitimacy to that. I don't know that it should all be on the mother or the woman to be the mother and the homemaker. She's always going to be a mother. Obviously, they have kids. But does she have to be the homemaker? There have been times in our marriage when I was Mr. Mom and stayed home and took care of the kid and painted the house and did things like that around the house and vacuumed and did the dishes and stuff while my wife worked. And I didn't feel like less of a man. I thought it was fine. But I did miss being back to work, I guess, being a man, being a male. Feel like you need to, I guess we are the ones who are told, women, I guess if they're told they have to get out and work, men, even more so. You're staying home. What's with you? What's this one? Tim asked Joe, have you been on the Dan Ryan Expressway when the speed limit was 70? I'm not sure. I know Dan Ryan Expressway there in Chicago. I've been on that. I never knew the speed limit to be 70. But I've been on it when it's moving pretty well, but I've been on it when it's crawling too. But anyway, just some thoughts. And the issue of, and it's a sensitive issue, abortion, yes. But it's an issue that should be a private decision left to, I think, primarily a woman. I don't think, quite frankly, I don't think a man should be able to tell a woman, yes, you have to be put through, because it is a medical condition. It's a health condition, I think, and health care, women's health care is involved in a pregnancy. And all pregnancies aren't successful, and all pregnancies aren't a healthy experience for a woman. And it's traumatic for many. And I think it's a decision that a woman should be able to make on her own, whether she will carry, you know, take every or carry every pregnancy to completion. And, you know, states are going to regulate it, but I think a government that says that you must, you know, every pregnancy that occurs in this state or in this country has to be taken to term. I can't think of a more oppressive or liberty robbing government than that. I'm just being honest. I think and the Supreme Court did determine that it was a right. It was a right under the Constitution, that a right that women could enjoy to, well, not necessarily enjoy, if that's the right term, but that they could exercise under the Constitution. And it was determined to be that for 50 years. Wasn't, you know, there were different courts that agreed to one degree or another with that initial decision. It is this court that has taken that right away. So we talk about rights that have been lost since Joe Biden assumed office. Well, that's the only one that I can think of. And it wasn't Joe Biden's doing. I'm just throwing that out there. And you might disagree with that, but we'll have time to talk about it tomorrow here on KGMI Connects. Thanks to everybody who called, and it was a very varied and interesting program today. And I have a feeling that tomorrow will be just as varied and just as very interesting. So hope you have a great rest of your Monday, and well, just take care of yourself and be patient. And maybe read a book.